Too late.
Love Talk Radio.
Jeff, Kara, Kat, are you ready for this
U-C-R.
One?
U-C-R.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
And welcome to Uncensored Radio. We are your guiltiest pleasure, and you are in, you know, store for a energetic, fun-filled evening of talk. Right, guys?
Right. And drunk. I forgot to say drunk.
Yeah, drunk, fun-filled hour of talk. I am one of your hosts, Karen Ashley, and that, my friend, is Katrina Johnson. She is here with us tonight. Hey, Katrina.
Howdy do.
Hello, and of course, the chipper, the beautiful, the one and only, Jeffrey Emmett is here. Hi, Jeffrey.
Okay, this is live. I was just checking. I was waiting to see if I heard myself. You never know.
Wow.
It is live, honey. It is live. We did not do any, we don't do anything other than live shows. What are you talking about?
Okay, girl, if that's what you got to tell yourself, baby, to take those naps and keep doing it.
And also on with us tonight is Mr. the one and only Lips. Hello, Lips.
Hello, people.
Hi. You know what's funny is that last night we nicknamed our newest intern, Katie, we nicknamed her the Kissing Bandit. Did you hear the story behind the story? James?
No, I did not.
She is the Kissing Bandit because we asked her, we were like, okay, before the show's over, we've got to think of a nickname for you because you can't be intern Katie because that's kind of what she did up until that point. And so we basically told her to tell us five things or, you know, I don't even know if we got to the fifth thing, but tell us five things about yourself. And so she's telling us all these, you know, interesting things, but not quite juicy. And so finally I said, well, why don't you tell us something you'd be, you know, embarrassed about or a secret or we won't tell anybody, right? And so she proceeds to tell us that last year, spring break, she went somewhere. I can't even remember where she went because it was so, I wasn't ready for this, but she said she kissed about 50 boys. And she got
in a parking lot.
And of course, she melted our heart officially become a member of the Uncensored Radio family and has been nicknamed the Kissing Bandit. Did you know this about her, James?
No, I did not. That was not on
well, you learn something new every day, and that's a good thing to know, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't on my list of interview questions. I think I need to include that on our interview question sheet, you know, whenever we're trying to get to people.
You're right. We don't want to scare anyone away.
Right. So she's the Kissing Bandit, but I also told her, well, be careful because if you get James drunk, he turns into a Kissing Bandit, too. Did I overshare,
James? Yes, Karen was pulling a Jeffrey. Karen was offering you up to the intern.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
The female intern.
Yeah, well, I told her you weren't into females.
What's that?
I told her you weren't really into it. But last time I was around you, you had a couple of glasses of wine, and all of a sudden you were talking about kissing someone who remains nameless. So I thought, you know, you had a little kissing bandit in you.
Oh,
I
believe this now.
And I think he was looking to have a little more in him.
Well, I know.
I plead the fifth. I'm good. I plead the fifth.
That is really one of my highlights of you, James. Just watching James look over and be like, I so want to make out with you right now.
That was like the highlight of my life because I was like, oh, James.
I know, because you don't expect it from me.
I don't.
Exactly.
I don't.
You got to look out for the quiet one.
Exactly. And Katie's one of the quiet ones. Like, I thought she was sweet little intern Katie. And she's more than that. She's a kissing bandit.
She's still sweet, but she's a little naughty, too. I like it.
I love it. Love it. Love it.
So what is tonight's show actually about?
It's about you, because we have nothing better to talk about.
Is that okay? Sorry, I got to go.
Oh,
no, I got to go.
Why? Are you scared?
I don't like talking about myself.
But last Thursday, we talked about you, and the show was one of the highest rated shows we'd had in a minute. You don't want to take one for the team?
Fine. I'll take it for the team.
Oh,
put it like
man.
That, you know.
Well, you know what I want to talk about?
What?
Tell us,
Jeffrey.
Is I'm seeing all these posts on Facebook right now how, like, the Power Rangers must be, like, replaying their old episodes on Nicktoons. And I'm just wondering if it taps your ass that you're not getting paid right now.
Oh, well, thanks for making my day.
It's
bringing sunshine and joy.
thank you. I'll be here for the rest of the week.
Well, that means you're making a whole zero on your 10%, too. How does that feel?
I know. I'm about to write a fucking letter to Saban and let him know that you need
Big
to get residuals say. Because I need 10%.
Mm-hmm. Good luck
with
that.
Mama needs a new pair of teeth.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Wow.
So you heard today the Pope stepped down, and I think that we should start our own campaign. And we should elect someone to be Pope. I really do. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the TMZ website, and they've given us, like, 8 choices of who the next Pope could be. And I'm really impressed.
It should be me because I look good in a robe, and I like to drink red wine.
No,
and
I'm
like
going to vote.
And I
you
like
to wear jewelry.
I'm going to vote for Nakia Baris because she has, like, Jesus T-shirts and stuff.
That's a good choice. Although I'm kind of rooting a little more for Katrina Johnson, because I just think she'd be a much more understanding Pope. I think she would do good with the, you know, you have to stand up and you have to kneel and you have to stand up and you have to kneel. Like she works out all the time, so she could handle it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I would just, you know, I'd say, listen, baby. You cheated on your husband 12 times. It's okay, honey. I understand. Give me 12 Hail Marys. You're going to be just fine.
She's much more positive. And the Catholic Church needs a more positive light. Let's face it. They've had a lot of negative press lately. And she has really cute French manicured nails. I mean, all of a sudden, she's appealing to other, you know, other cultures. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
She's got bedazzled bras. I mean, she'd keep the attention of the parishioners.
But I would have to change the age of the altar boy. The altar boy would have to start at 18 and up.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make more scandal than I already do.
Right. And, I mean, at the end of the day, like, we always wonder, would she be naked underneath that robe? We wonder.
Yep.
And
sure would. Especially in Italy in the summertime, you know I would.
You know, I'm just saying, I mean, I love Nakia Baris, and I bought one of her Jesus T-shirts, but I just am kind of feeling Katrina Johnson. Katrina Johnson for Pope, everybody. Can I get
Amen.
A round of applause? Amen. Nobody? Nothing?
Just wait till I start sharing my wine. You'll be happy.
Come on, Katrina Johnson
It'll
for Pope. Come on.
All day, every day.
No. Mm-mm.
No?
I feel that I'm probably the closest thing to a good Catholic we got.
Actually, ask Mama. My mom is the best good Catholic we got.
I was an altar boy. I taught religion. I was on the pastoral council. So I happened to lie in bed with men. But still.
Okay. You know, Katrina, he is pleading a pretty good case here. I mean, yeah. He does have the experience and the history of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and I won't sleep with boys, but I'll
boys
sleep with
in
men.
The Catholic Church doesn't mean he's fitting.
Right. Well, then both of you would sleep with the men. I mean, she said 18 and over, and you're saying is it 18 and over is to how you like the boys.
Well, you know, though, did you see, though, that there was, like, a whole big gay scandal going on in the church? Like, and they think that had part of it? Some Italian paper released it? Yeah,
what?
Something about the
Tell
gays.
Tell us the story. Tell
I don't really
story.
Know it. That's why I was asking if you knew it.
Damn it. Well, let me look it up. Jamie, get to Google. Get to Google. He can't get on the computer and do the show at the same time. We'll lose him.
Can I just I just want to tell everybody.
We need someone that can walk and chew gum at the same time, folks.
We need to go and get like 2,000 listeners tonight. James, get to fucking tweeting real quick. And everybody in the chat room, tweet, call your mother, brother, sister, uncle, baby mama, and tell them they have to come listen to the show right now. Because if we can figure out where to pull 2,000 listeners in, we'll hit 100,000.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, we'll get that by the end of the night. I think we'll get that by the end of the night.
I'm
just gotta keep chatting. He's working on it.
Everybody, come on, go tweet. Tell them we're trying to hit 100,000. We need 2,000 people. We can do this. Let's do it. And make sure each one of those 2,000 people click ads because mama needs a new pair of shoes.
Well, all the news about the Pope stepping down, I know that's very, very upsetting for a lot of people today. And I know that, you know, the Catholic Church not having a true leader right now is very unsettling. But what's even more unsettling than that is that Girls Gone Wild has gone bankrupt. Yes, people. They are filing Chapter 11 reorganization, but fear not, late night TV viewers, Girls Gone Wild, honchos insist it'll be business as usual for the porn company. Yeah, what the heck happened? There was a lot of DVDs sold back in the day for Girls Gone Wild.
Actually, I know what happened.
Tell us.
What happened was,
Bill
Francis, the CEO, owner, and creator,
got
so much jail time that he didn't have time to be the captain behind the brand. And he was grounded. After he was in prison, he wasn't allowed to fly. And I know all this because I used to fly on his airplane. I was a flight attendant whenever he wasn't around. And that was most of the time for the last 6 years. And so he just hasn't, it's been like a captainless ship that business for the last 6 years, so that's what happened.
See? It's very similar to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, you know, he keeps spending like he's making it all the time, but he's not because he hasn't been allowed to. He's been, you know, court mandated to, you know, behave.
Uh-huh.
So he hasn't been able to drum up cash.
Right. Wow.
But he's going to be okay. He still has his Ferrari, his Lamborghini. His mansion in Bel Air, he's going to be just fine. Don't cry for him, Argentina.
Right, because this is the thing. When rich people actually file for Chapter 11, they're really not broke. Like, they're really not like you and I if we filed for bankruptcy. They have still a lot of freaking money. Like, they're just trying not to lose certain things so they protect themselves. But,
and he comes from money. I think his dad, last I checked, was like the president and owner of Aveda, you know, the hair care company.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I use Aveda.
So, yeah, he was, you know, he went to USC. He was typical Cali, SoCal rich kid. He'll be just fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't you hate it the rich get richer?
It's crazy.
Not that I'm, like, pro Girls Gone Wild, but, I mean, sometimes it's a cool story when someone makes something out of nothing and then they go from zero to 60 and they've got, like, all this money. But then when you find out they kind of came from money, it kind of makes me go, meh. You know, I'm not so impressed anymore.
Look it, I personally would not have a problem with the rich get richer. And I specifically won't have a problem with it once I get rich. So, I mean, just...
But until then, don't you have a problem with it?
Not particularly, because I plan on being rich. So, I mean, I'll suffer through for a little bit.
I guess so. Well, I don't know if you guys remember these old ads. I don't know if you remember it. But remember the lady? She was, like, very, very famous. it was like a smoking ad, like a non-smoking ad. And then she's talking and she's kind of telling you not to smoke. And she gets a cigarette and kind of smokes through her neck. Like she had a hole in her neck and she smokes a cigarette. And then it was like, don't smoke cigarettes. This is what cigarettes do to you. Well, do you remember this ad, either one of you?
Yeah, I do. I sure do.
She passed away, and I can't remember what her name was, Debbie Austin. She finally quit her habit after appearing in a commercial where she smoked through a hole in her throat, and she died of cancer, lung cancer, just a couple days ago, and she was 62. But she obviously became very, very famous because, you know, she did that commercial, and it was televised in 1996, so it was like, you know, mid-90s. And she basically said, you know, nicotine isn't addictive. Before she inhaled from the lit cigarette held to the hole of her throat. So yeah, like she was like, I will say when I saw that ad, it scared the bejesus out of me, and I was like, I'm never gonna smoke a cigarette. Like it threw me for a loop, and so it's kind of like, wow, you know. And I think those ads still air today. Like even though it played first in 1996, still airs today. Nothing.
So she was 60 when she died.
Well, when she did that ad, she was like around 42, and so she did live. Yeah, she died just the other day, and she was 62. But yeah, she did die when she was 62.
Yeah. I can't believe that. I'd have thought she was at least 85 now.
Right, because she looked really old back then, didn't she?
Like, well, that's what happened.
So crazy,
Jeffrey. Maybe we should stop smoking cigarettes. Let's talk about
Jeffrey. I don't really want to talk about this shit.
Why? Why?
This is some bullshit. But I would just like to say there was a mistweet that went out. It said we were 20,000 away. We're not 20,000 away from 100,000. We're 2,000.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's more important than me smoking.
Right. But why do you feel like it's some shit?
I just don't want to talk about it. It's horrible.
It's horrible?
I like denial. That's like saying, you know, drinking or eating shitty food is not going to kill me. Look at me being fucking fat will probably kill me before the cigarettes do. John Candy, what, died at 42? That will probably be me way before the cigarettes get to me. So I'm not really worried about this.
But that's not good. Like, we don't want either one. Okay, well, we won't go there.
You should call
and
ask Mama how you can live past 45. That should be your question.
Well, I mean, let's talk about, if we're going to talk about giving bad habits up, let's talk about giving up, penis.
Forget that.
Why would we want to do that? What in the world ever possessed you that we'd want to do that? I think everyone on the show
could argue. I could argue that that's good for you.
Yeah, at least at least you get a workout with the other.
And it's good for my mental state. Have you not noticed that I'm much nicer today and yesterday than I was last week? Duh.
That's funny. And by the way, we have to give Team Blowhole a shout-out because he was really funny last night. The whole thing about I don't want a man baby, I mean, that had me in stitches.
Yeah, you know, he's got a very sensitive male organ set, so we need to make sure that, he stays unpregnant. That's how I like
him. Exactly. And if you didn't listen to last night's show, please listen to it. But basically what always comes up when he calls in is that, you know, Jeffrey went to Vegas this past summer, and Jeffrey and Joe had relations all over this one particular room, right? And that was Team Blowhole's room. And Jeff always says that when Team Blowhole sleeps in there, that he's basically sleeping with Jeffrey. And so,
sleeping in his juices.
And so Joe came up that, you know, Team Blowhole was kind of nauseous. He thought he was pregnant with a man baby. That was like yep. That was like the best thing I'd ever heard in my whole life. Jeffrey, how do you feel about getting Team Blowhole pregnant? Kinda.
I'm okay with it. Except I'm not paying support, so he can forget about it.
Can't get blood from a rock, team, if you're listening. I know you are.
Yeah, I'm cheap as shit. Like, if anything, he's got to pay me. And I frankly feel he should.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to give it to you since you're the child care professional.
I don't want no fucking baby. I got shit to do.
I know, but you're the only one who takes care of him. And you know Katrina ain't going to allow no baby in her house. And so,
heck no.
I mean,
what?
Oh, I'm just smashing shit. It's problems over here. Just don't mind me. I'm excited, tweeting, trying to get everybody. I'm like, come on. The fuck, where's everybody? 2,000, we can do that.
We can do it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Right, exactly. So did anybody do something cool today? Or did anybody, like, do something embarrassing they want to share with the team? I mean, what we got here tonight, guys?
Well, I got a third call back to go for a job at the Wynn today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because, you know, it's like a typical audition. They're like, why should we hire you? Tell us about yourself. And I was like, well, you know, I started out in entertainment. I'm from L.A. And then I started my own business providing flight attendants to other planes all around the world and training them, and I flew Steve Wynn. So if I can take care of the guy whose name is on the side of the building, then I can take care of all of his guests. So they're pretty much like, yeah,
very good. Wow.
So that was fun. But then they gave me a packet and said, go home, learn this by 1 p.m. tomorrow. We're testing you on everything in there, a written test, a verbal test, and then like a physical test, and they do like a like they put you on a stage and they make you act out whatever job it is that you're going for. So tomorrow is super stressful. Pressure's on.
Pressure is on. So I wonder, why do they do that? Like, what? I don't understand. Like, what's the point of it?
Because that way they know that you can handle anything because they're putting you in a stressful situation. And a lot of times if you are in front of rich people or important people, hoity-toity people, and they're screaming at you, a lot of times it'll be, you know, hard to deal with. So they figure they're putting you in a stage and you're stressful, so that must be how you would react in real life.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of like what they do in flight attendant school, too. You know, they stick you in an airplane, they set it on fire, you're in the dark, it's full of ice-cold 32-degree water. So basically, that's as stressful as it gets. So if you can simulate that and come out on top, then you can do it in real life. That's
oh my goodness!
Behind it,
Jeff,
so
maybe
yeah,
we should send you to that. We should send you to flight attendant school to help you get rid of your fear of flying.
I don't know because if you fucking flip
if
you flip a plane upside down in cold icy water and stick me in it, bitch, I'm not fucking saving nobody. I'm getting the hell out. And they can all fucking drown, burn. I don't give a rat's ass, okay? It's every bag for himself.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. Like, he would actually pass half of the test. Just getting yourself out is a big part of it. You know, you always got to take care of yourself first because if you pass out, then you're no good to anybody else. So that actually wouldn't be so bad.
See, so you're halfway there. Now we just got to get you to save somebody.
Exactly.
I think it would actually be good for you because I think for you, a lot of your fear, I think, is your imagination. Like, you stay at home, you watch these YouTube crazy videos.
No, it's not. It truly isn't. The problem, and honestly, it's not dying. Like, it's not so much the fiery death at the ground that bothers me. It's the ride down. Like, I was just talking to actually somebody who was in the Army that survived a plane crash, and we were talking about it. He's like, dude, you got the right idea. Stay the fuck away. He's like, it's no fun. He's like, it really sucked. They dropped from, like, I can't remember, I think 30-something thousand feet to, like, 500 feet, and, like, he's like, I puke everywhere. Yeah, so, you know, and it's just the drop down that really bothers me, and the fact is, you know, it can happen. And I don't like standing up on a chair. I was trying to hang something by a stairwell, and I mean, I just I can't even see it, and I'm not going to fall, but I instantly get vertigo and start wobbling and feel like I'm falling. Even so, it's like, it just, you know, no. I mean, I'm telling you, when I was watching Oprah that 25th season when they went to Australia and they climbed that bridge, I had to actually not watch that part because I was having a panic attack.
Okay, so it sounds like it's more like a height issue. Like you have a lot, you have a fear of heights as well. And it's just the landing part that gets you kind of stressed out?
No, it's not the landing. It's the falling out of the sky that's the problem.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody, most people I know are more afraid of landing than anything else. Like when they're landing, that's where they get scared. And to me, the minute that they're like, okay, get ready, we're going to land, and we're going down, I'm excited. Like, my panic starts to go, I feel better, I'm like, yes, home free.
Oh, so it's a height
thing. But I know the statistics are more plane crashes happen during landing and takeoff. But yet, even though I know the facts, it's still, you know, like, to me, I'm like, okay, we're landing, we're good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a completely irrational problem, but I cannot figure out how, you know, I could tell myself you're going to be fine, you're being ridiculous. It doesn't work. Just thinking about it, like, I've been thinking about it a lot, like, I'm going to have to fly this summer, and I'm instant panic attack. I start sweating, I start panicking, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
I know,
like,
and the crazy thing is you're flying alone. Like, no one's going to
be. Have you tried, Jeffrey?
Hmm?
Have you tried what, Katrina? I'm sorry.
Xanax.
You know, I actually, when I flew to Arizona, I flew to Arizona by myself the first time hungover. Did not go well. The way home, I took meds. And I actually started to enjoy flying. And I was like, let this motherfucker hit the ground. I ain't even give a fuck. You'll find me with a smile, crispy fried.
So, Jeffrey, you're not supposed to take morphine or heroin before you fly.
I don't know. It's a little traumatic.
I'm not recommending opiates. Just maybe a little something to take the edge off of your panic attack, like a Valium or...
Right.
Just to calm you.
Well, it probably would have made sense if I went to the doctor's office and actually got a prescription, you know, because I'm like, who can I score a Valium from? And then I'm going to go to jail because they're going to be like.
Did you get it from that kid with the bath salts?
No, but I'm like, you know, I'm just too stupid to go to the doctor and get a prescription for myself so that I can actually take them with me and take them, you know, because I can't even remember. I did actually, somebody gave me some pills before we left, but here's the other thing.
Ever tell you not to take candy from strangers?
Yeah, no, but I knew what it was. Here's the thing. I knew what it was, but I had taken it once before. It was a Xanax. I had taken one on accident a couple years ago.
After
it was during a birthday party. I thought I was taking a painkiller. I thought I was taking the hydrocodone, and I accidentally took a Xanax, and I was knocked out for like 5 hours. Like, I could barely pick my head up. Like, the room was spinning. So I'm a little nervous about Xanax. Valium, I used to take. I had a prescription for, so that's not too bad. But I don't know. The whole thing. Like, it's just excuses. And I
will give you a Xanax. It's like Valium on steroids, and it sounds like that's exactly.
I know, but that's what fucked me up. So that made me nervous, and I didn't have a chance to try one before we flew over the summer to see, you know, because I'm not trying to be sick on the plane, because that's just going to be a worse experience for everybody involved.
Right. It's rude.
You know, it's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be pretty bad. Right.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably be like the crazy bitch from Bridesmaids running around the plane. There's a little Amish man on the wing. Yeah, it was
Oh, my God. That was hilarious, though. I love that movie. I absolutely love that movie, and I love that scene.
I actually acted out a scene from Bridesmaids last week.
Really?
I was on the phone with Daisy. and I was on my way to an interview, and I hadn't eaten like in like a day because I had to do a bikini runway walk. So I was super skinny, and I went to In-N-Out, and I downed a cheeseburger like fast. I was starving. And then I got like,
in the sink at the
sick.
Interview?
What?
You
what
cheated
you
before the interview?
No, after the interview.
After
no, I did after the interview
because
I was in a bikini. Uh-huh. Jeffrey, I'm trying to be skinny, so I didn't eat. So I ate after the interview. I chow down on a double-double, and then I get sick right away. I'm on my phone with Daisy. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm sick. She starts laughing. I'm like, it's not good. I was on the freeway, stuck, nowhere to go. I was devastated, thinking I was going to sharp myself. And I was telling him, like, oh, my gosh, this is bad. Like, you know when you feel your butt tucker?
Oh,
God. Oh,
it's
that so is the worst.
Now it's coming out. It's coming out. It's puckering. You know what that means. And so she's in her cubicle cracking up at work, laughing her butt off, saying on Twitter to me that I need to do my butt kegels. It was just that told her finally that I was going to pull a bridesmaid and just go in the middle of the street.
You're going to do a trucker bomb?
Yeah. It's not good.
Horrific.
Yeah, it wasn't good. She's making fun of me on Twitter.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. Yeah, that was my favorite scene, actually. Like, that movie, I was on the – like, I was crying – the biggest tears when that scene was happening. Like, I just couldn't believe they pulled that off. Like, it was the most brilliant scene I'd ever seen in my life. Like,
look away! Look away! This thing's a goner!
Like, every single actress delivered. Like, they all committed to that. Like, it was no exception.
We actually have video of Joyce watching that scene and her, like, damn near pissing her pants on the couch, not breathing, falling all over the place.
Right.
Like, it was great. That really was a great scene in that movie. Like, and that was probably one of the highlights for me. Anything that Melissa McCarthy was in, to me, was like, she made the movie. Like, when she sold the puppies.
Yes!
She's like, I sold 9 puppies. I overcommitted. 6 probably would have been better. And then at the end, where they're, like, having the love scene, they're like, sex tape, take one or whatever. And she's like, do you like my big sub for my big bear? My big bear sandwich? My big bear sandwich? He's like, no, the meat and the cheeses. Meat and
that
cheeses.
That was so
like,
gross,
this?
And I loved it.
I loved it, too. Like, she's, like, on a whole nother level when it comes to, like, comedy and timing. And did you hear the... Yeah, because you know the movie that she just put out, we went to go see the other day, probably like 2 weeks ago, but, it, you know, the one about Identity theft?
Well, there was a
critic who, he's a very famous film critic, like very, very famous. I can't remember what his name is, and I'll Google it in a second so I can throw him under the bus. But he basically, you know, did a whole thing about the movie, and he referred to her as a cow, as fat, as a blob, as just, like, he was talking so much smack about her. And people were, like, pissed because they were like, what does that have to do with anything? Is the movie good or not? Like,
yeah,
your opinion
is her. She's a comedian. That's okay. She's not trying to be sexy and naked on a soap opera.
Right. And so they were like, people were pissed. And the funny thing, the ironic thing is that he did this right before the movie opened, and it was like everybody was pissed off about it. And that week, the movie was number one in the box office.
Well, and wasn't it number one the second week, too? And I keep hearing people saying that it's not funny. But I feel
it was okay. Like, if you think Bridesmaids, I mean, it's not what, you know, it's not
I didn't think Bridesmaids was all that funny. Like, I really only thought the funny parts were with her.
I thought it was really hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious. Coming from my undercarriage.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what that line was, and I couldn't remember. Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah. I just thought each person in that movie, like, kind of knew their role and they played their role and they did it really well. Like, you know, the snob was a really good snob. You know, the girl, you know, obviously Melissa McCarthy's character was really hilarious. Like, you know, she had it down.
For me, the one thing, like, the previews I wanted to go see because she was in it, but she always has, like, a weird, like, her voice changes in some little teeny way or another, you know, and I felt like the hair was crazy and I expected her to have some, like, fucking mad, crazy Southern accent. And then, like, it was just kind of a regular voice. I was kind of disappointed. Like, what was the one movie? It was not a comedy. It well, I guess it kind of was. It was a dramedy. The one with Josh Duhamel and the bitch from Grey's Anatomy. Life as We Know It, where they get stuck with their friend's baby.
Oh, right. Yes.
And she's the neighbor.
Their friends die, and they leave them the baby. And they're like,
And she's in it, and she's like, what, a character actor? Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we made you some, what the hell did she call them? Covered dishes, whatever, 1, 2, 3. And she's like, I don't touch lips, or I don't touch meat, only with my lips. Like, just the lines that come out of that bitch's mouth. And Katrina, I could see this motherfucker on a soap opera in a bra and panties. Like, I could see her doing it and pulling it off funny as shit.
Right.
What I mean, though. Like, if you stay in your lane, like, if you're funny and you're not trying to be something you're not, then who cares?
Right. Exactly. I completely agree. Well, it's Rex Reed was the film critic, and he's facing the wrath of people because he takes issue. He called her a hippo, and you know, he goes, in addition to the tractor and hippo comments, you know, he basically didn't like the movie, but instead of saying I don't like the movie, he basically like
he
takes her apart. I think it's so dumb.
Theory on everyone says I don't like fat people, and I mean, you know, all I'm gonna say is I don't have a problem with people who are staying in their lane. Like, I'd be pissed off if she were wearing a bedazzled thong trying to be a sexy showgirl, but I don't have a problem with her being...
Okay, that would be funny.
But, and if it's funny, I don't have a problem with it. Like, if you're doing what you do best and you do it well, then kudos. I just
She's basically saying... She doesn't want someone trying to be sexy, and that's not what sexy is in her eyes.
Right.
If she's
trying to be
funny and go for the laugh, she's got it all day. Yeah.
Well, I think
no matter what she does, she's funny.
Like, and now I feel like we've had Rosie O'Donnell on Uncensored Radio. Now we just need to get Melissa McCarthy, and then we can quit. Show's over.
Oh.
We're done.
If we got Melissa McCarthy, I'd probably be the giggling girl. You know how, like, you guys get excited when certain people come on. I think I'd be excited if she came on.
James, Katie, all of our listeners with Twitter, I want you to right now go on Twitter and just get her under siege, kids. Tweet her. Tell her we want her on the show and that we love her and she's fabulous. And just tell her how she's got to come on Censor Radio and how wonderful we are and how Jake Petlin, son of Roseanne Barr, is a host.
She doesn't have a Twitter.
Yes, she does.
Melissa McCarthy doesn't have a Twitter?
Yes, she do.
Yes, she do. So there was, like, some amazing news, and I forgot to even talk about this week. It was amazing, but yet disturbing, all wrapped up in one. I forget who it was, but some organization put together a top 10 list of Power Rangers they want to come back to the show.
This pisses me off so bad. You're about to unleash the faggot.
So this is what was funny, though. I've got to, like, you have to find it on my Facebook wall, Katrina, because I was in the top 10 list. Me, Karen Astley, as somebody they want to come back to the show. But what was the most hilarious part of it all was that there were nine individual people. And then me, number 10, it was me and Nakia. And they basically said Aisha Campbell and Tanya Sloan. So it was almost like, we'll take you to one of these black girls. But it was like, what? It was almost like we were the same character. Didn't it seem like we were the same character? And everybody else, it was like, okay, we want JDF to come back. We want, you know, we want David Yost to come back. We want, you know, Johnny to come back. Like, they had all these people, Blake. But it was only me. I was the only one who had to share a billing. And not that I mind sharing with Nakia, because she's my great friend. But it was like almost like, We'll take either one of these black girls. Just, it doesn't matter. One of y'all. Y'all kind of look alike. Make a picture where we did kind of look alike.
Yeah, it was bullshit. Alike,
it was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen. I go, well, I feel honored. But yet, I almost feel like, what? Yeah. So I was kind of on the top 10 list of Power Rangers to come back to Power Rangers. You know, unofficial list of people they'd want. Yeah, I was kind of on it. I was like 50% of me was on it because I had to share bill. I had billing with, you know, I had to share my billing with Nikki.
It counts. It counts.
It counts. That's what I said. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm honored.
I was offended.
Jeff was so mad. You were like, that's rude.
Like, I was pissed. Like, if I can figure out what the email is for whoever the fuck came up with that list, they are going to get the wrath of me, and I'm going to demand that they take it down. Or either that or get rid of Nikia.
Take me,
like,
off the list.
Yeah, or get rid of Nikia, quite frankly. But what is all this crap? Do you know anything about it? I keep seeing on Facebook that they're talking about...
Megaforce, or...
Yeah, like, and they're having, like, I guess in it, like, all... They have scenes where, like, all of the past people come back, and, like, they all join, I don't know, some crazy shit. And everybody
right.
keeps talking, and I'm so confused. I'm like, nobody's reached out to you that I know of, or can you
no.
just not tell me?
I don't know. I haven't gotten any. Nobody's reached out to me. I have no idea. We might need to have a caller, or we might need to ask somebody, because, I have no idea. I am always the last to know. So I don't know what they're – I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, and they couldn't.
I don't know what that
because,
is, but I've seen it too.
Like, and I from because I think if I'm correct, I saw a clip of this, and they had like the original costume, the Zio costume, which would make room for you and Nikia.
Mhm.
So I don't. I'm confused. Like, how are they going to pull it off and not have all the cast come back?
I don't know. That's what I said. You know, people have been asking me, have I watched the new season? And I have it, but it's like, I haven't watched Power Rangers in a long time. Like, I mean, I honestly didn't watch it when I was on it. So, you know, so when the new season came out, you know, I'm very happy for those kids. I actually got to meet them. But I haven't watched it, you know, and I don't know. So I honestly don't know the latest and greatest Power Ranger news. I just know I saw this list and I thought it was hilarious. That captured my heart.
Wait, was the list for this coming season? Was that the deal? And I just didn't pick up on it because I'm...
I think what it is it's a hypothetical list of, you know, the new season. You know, it's always been a dream for people, I think, to assemble their perfect Power Ranger team. Like, you can pick any Power Ranger fan, and they would assemble their perfect Power Ranger team of who they love and who they like and who they want back on the show.
Everybody already has their perfect team. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So I think that with that new season coming, they're thinking, like, it would be great if we could put a top 10 list of who we'd want back. This is who we'd want back. And so they threw it out there, and it was hit with mixed reviews because, obviously, you know, some people are like, I don't want who, why would they pick them? And why would they pick this person? And, you know, but it was, for the most part, I think most of the people were well received. I think there were a couple people on there, they were kind of like, huh? But that's just, you know, it was one person's opinion. I don't know that it was, you know, a majority vote kind of thing. So, for Miss Katrina Johnson, since you are the official Ranger Slayer, who would be your perfect Power Ranger team if you had to put one together?
Well, my perfect Power Ranger team would go like this. Green, 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 blue, yellow, yellow. Like, it's not very versatile, so I don't think they would go with what I want.
Right. She just picked the ones she likes, right? I'm
yeah,
put
of course.
Because that means I've got a 50-50 chance of getting on there.
No, it means I would go with the crowd and pick two yellows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd like to see Nikia in action, and I would make her date one of the greens because that would be fun to watch. And so that's why there would be two yellows.
Wait, didn't
okay.
she date
I mean,
one
you'd
of the...
Be, you'd, yeah, you'd be paired up with JDS because you already have a belt who is blue, and that would be the only blue allowed on, and that would be, you know, a side plot.
Yeah, since yellow and green make blue. Uh-oh. Who is it?
We have Miss Heather Ray, who has some information on all of this that you all are discussing.
Bring it to us,
excellent.
Heather. Bring it to us.
Hello, it's Heather. Hey, I know you guys are trying to figure out what the heck is being said. Well, there are some people that are watching the season that happened the previous season called Go Kaiser. And as you know, Japan created the series before Power Rangers and everything. That's how America got their battle scene.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, it has all the previous Rangers from all the previous seasons, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, along with some seasons that were not even brought here to the United States. They are brought in to battle one big final battle against a major villain. And basically, it was Japan's anniversary season, much like it's going to be our anniversary season.
Oh, okay. And so is that why they're doing a whole, like, top 10 list if we were going to bring someone back for the major battle?
I believe so. I'm looking it up on YouTube because I know I saw that battle scene somewhere, but I can't remember where I saw it.
Right. Got it. Okay, well, Heather, thank you for clarifying that, because we surely didn't know. And you think I would know, but I don't. So, we appreciate that.
It's okay,
that.
You're pretty good.
Thank you.
I hope that I got all that correct. Toku is the Toku Continuum. He's the tech guy for AMC Press.
Mm-hmm.
He's a major smarty pants.
Know-it-all?
Yeah.
He knows it all. I mean, after us, it was love. Like, he is. We use him as a major know-it-all for us because he helps us run our website. It's just what it is. He knows it all. Well, thank you for calling in, and we appreciate the clarification on what the hell is going on. So, Jeffrey, who would be your perfect Power Ranger team?
I got to go, you know, with you guys, your cast.
Yeah? You're not going to deviate from the...
No, because I don't know any of the other people.
I would replace Ashley Jo Johnson with Katrina Johnson, and I would make myself the pink one. Duh.
Not
like,
you.
And then we could play that game, two in the pink, one in the stink. Who would be the stink ranger?
Nope, I'm not even going to comment.
Two in the paint, one in the sink.
Not
yep.
going to do it. No, but I think for me, like with anything, you got to go with like kind of the people from the beginning, you know?
Right.
But like, I don't even understand that list. Like, they had that one kid on it, Austin, St. John, I think, or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, like, fat now? Like, what is he going to do?
When was he on?
He was on before you. He was one of the actors you guys replaced. He was
I know. Well, he was on recently on the show?
No, like, he was in that list. But I guess, I guess he was on just a couple years ago when they did whatever, some episode with all the red ones, except for our buddy there, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, but he's kind of fat now and balding. Like, are you kidding?
Well, this is the thing. I think it's all hypothetical. I mean, I doubt very seriously they'll bring anybody back. That's just the way that they roll. But I think he, as far as popularity goes, he's probably the most popular Red Ranger. Like, it's just what it is.
He doesn't go to anything, does he?
He went to the first Morphicon. He was at the first Morphicon. I didn't
was
to
he
the first
then?
Morphicon. I don't know. I don't know that he's fat. I've never met Austin.
Oh.
It sounded to me like Jeffrey's joining the club against fat people. I think Jeffrey's now the one that doesn't like fat
people.
Well,
no, I'm just saying you can't be fat and be a Power Ranger. Come on. You're not going to look right in the spandex. What are they going to do? Pull the little boy thing, like make him grow and get skinny? I mean, come on.
Yeah, they can do some green screen or something.
Oh, well, then if that's the case, well, I want to come on and be a Ranger next season.
Who are you going to replace, Jeffrey? Katrina's already called pink, so what we got left?
Well, when Katrina gets fired for being drunk, I'll take her place.
And then when you get fired for substance abuse, I'll get hired back.
Oh, my God, we could be like the Beckys on Roseanne, where they just keep flip-flopping.
Right. Oh, I know. That was, like, the most hilarious. Like, I always felt like it was so wrong. Well, I understood. Didn't the first one leave? Like, she left the show? She took a little bit of a break?
Yeah, she wanted to go to college, and, yeah, that was that. Well, and then she came back for a little while, and it just wasn't working out again. But, what? Like, I remember the one episode where Sarah Chalk came back,
mm-hmm.
and they were, like, going to Disneyland or something, and she, like, walked in the door, and Roseanne broke character and was like, aren't you glad you're here this week?
Right. Right. The funny thing for me was that I felt like once she was gone, then she's gone. Like, why did the other girl get to come back? Like, you chose to leave, so go. And, like, basically the other chick kind of lost her job.
Well, I feel like they're just trying to salvage what little continuity they could.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, she only came back for one season, and it was only, I think, half a season. Like, she didn't even come back for a full season. And I think it was actually sporadically throughout the season where I think there was actually a couple of weeks where they flip-flopped back and forth and they poked
mm-hmm.
fun at the situation.
Yeah, no, I remember. It was some good jokes regarding that. Like, it was really funny.
Like, and that to me made it even more funny that they, like, oh.
I know.
If they ever did a reunion, I think they would have to, they should bring it back. Both of them, and do half of the reunion movie with one, and then the other half with the other.
That would kind of be funny.
Or change out every other scene that she's in.
Or, you know, there was another, what was it, 2 and a Half Men, Courtney Thorne Smith's son, and they, I don't remember what episode it was, but they had a joke on it, where something about Melrose Place, and I just lost my mind. Like, you know, it was a nod to Melrose Place, and the fact that she was on it, and I think she was actually the one that kind of made a dig at it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm some slut from Melrose Place. I don't know. But it was just, I love when they do that on shows. Like, I think it's great.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's hilarious. Like, you know, I feel like you gotta poke fun at something like that. And Roseanne actually handled that really well. I wish they would have brought her back, though, as, like, somebody else. Because remember in General Hospital when they got rid of, what's her name, who used to be on the Air Troopers? Yeah.
Sarah Brown. I was just going to bring that one up, and they came back as a different character.
Yeah, she came back as a totally different character. I love the fact that they did that. And she
but did
was
you
like,
see the first scene,
me,
her and Sunny,
uh-huh.
they were like, have I met you somewhere before? Don't I know you?
Yes.
Like, they totally
yeah.
did a nod.
They did
they
that
did.
With Alicia on Passion. She played two different parts. Yeah, I was
yeah.
watching her with, like, brown hair 1 week. And then the next week I watched her, I'm like, this bitch is back, but she's blonde and she's got a different name. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I know, it's hilarious. I think it's great. And, you know, we're very close to Ask Mama, and we're still waiting for questions. It's the most strangest thing that we ask guys, what do you guys want to ask Mama? And none of you guys have any questions? None of you have any problems? None of you
it's
are fighting
because,
with your friends?
It's because they're all scared of the Ashley women.
No, see, this is the thing. They have to ask her. They have to ask her a question because she's going to, you know, tell you in love, you know, if you're having a problem with a friend, if you're having a problem, financial problem, if you're having a problem with your baby mama, baby daddy, if you're having a problem with your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Like, I find it shocking that nobody has any questions. Like,
it's because people don't want to ask questions that they don't want to hear the answer to. If the answer to why am I broke is get another job, maybe they don't want to
mm-hmm.
hear that.
Well,
right.
I have a question for Mama, and I can't wait to ask her, and it goes a little something like this.
Okay.
If you have a friend and you both want to be rich, and the one friend don't want to get into business together because they already doing a business together, how do you handle that situation? And why would your friend be foolish enough to turn away income and be lazy and be able to sit on the beach?
Because maybe the friend who's turned away income.
Jeffrey, you are not selling my topless photos. Get that through your head. I'm saying no. I've said no. I'm not taking naked photos so that you can get rich. Sorry.
No,
it's not.
Let me tell you what I got. Let me tell you what kind of, I was having a restful nap this afternoon, and I wake up to a text message that says, you got good credit? I found a 32-unit apartment complex for $498,000. Let's get it. Like, what? And so when I call in today to the show, first thing out of Jeffrey's mouth is, hey, how's your credit? Like, he's like a car salesman. And then I told him, I said, you know, Jeff, I don't want to go into business with you because I'm already in business with you. Let's get this business going. And then he goes, ah, whatever. And then he was mad at me.
What's that mad at you?
Just because I don't want to help him buy his 32-unit building in Auburn, which all
look
it sounds to me
I
is like
I don't need
a headache.
You to help me. I was just offering you an opportunity.
And I turned it down.
Well, and I think you're foolish.
that sounds like a headache. That sounds like a, oh, man, what the hell?
But I don't see how it was going to be a headache for you because you're not about to move out here to run it. So it wouldn't really be your problem now, would it?
I like how Jeffrey offers up exploitation as a, finger quotes, business opportunity.
Mm-hmm. It would be a headache because you would call me every day and tell me every single situation that made you have a headache.
Oh, excuse me? My name. Never mind. I ain't even going to go there. Never mind.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a
well, we do have a few questions for Mama.
Oh, we do? Awesome.
A few on Facebook and one on Twitter.
Awesome. Oh, we got a packed show then. That's awesome. And then plus, I'm sure we'll throw in our own questions, our own crazy questions.
Oh, James, by the way, since you're here, we need a theme song for Ask Mama. Kay, love you.
He's like, he probably hates us, but he shouldn't do such good songs. Then we wouldn't be like, you know, James, do this song. James, do that song. You know, but this is the thing, James, you got to look at it this way. You basically sing the soundtrack to Uncensored Radio. Like almost every single show has you on.
That's a fact.
Like, it's a fact, right? AMC Press has a theme song by you. We have a theme song. You know, Ask Mama's going to have one. I think you're working on something for Topher. I mean, it's like the only people that don't have it is Chick Chat, and I'm sure it's just a matter of y'all getting together and counting that out.
Exactly. I just need music. That's all I need. I just need help with music.
Okay, so you need tracks. Is that what you need? You need a funky beat?
I need tracks.
Okay, so we'll find him some tracks so that we can get it popping. So... yeah, we definitely need to ask Mama, Katrina, you definitely need to ask Mama about, you know, how Jeffrey's always offering up your boobies and offering up your panties to people.
It's not right.
Well, I'm just trying to pay your mortgage, okay? I don't understand the problem.
Why does my mortgage have to get paid with my underpants?
Because why not?
Because I like my underpants. I don't wear them, but they're still nice.
we should be selling your underpants, Katrina, if you're not wearing them. If you don't wear
pants,
then we should sell them. I kind of agree.
You know what? This is just
what
ridiculous.
Now, Blondie?
This is ridiculous.
We might need to hash this out with Ask Mom because I kind of agree now that I think about it. Like, I'm like, she doesn't even wear panties. What's the big deal?
I know. They end up in my friend's pocket. Like,
I remember that. To this day, that still remains a mystery.
No, I think he figured it out. He remembered. He saw them. I think they were in the bathroom or something. And he picked them up because he... yeah, like he didn't want whoever they were to be embarrassed. Or I don't know. Brian does weird shit when he's fucked up.
What's the thing?
That's funny.
He's a perfect friend because he saw a pair of abandoned panties and he said, you know what? The first thought in his mind was put it in my pocket. Like, wow.
Or no, maybe was he at my mom's? Maybe that's it. He found them there like they fell out of a bag. I don't know. There was some... somewhere he found them and picked them up because he didn't want somebody to be pantyless.
He's a drunken klepto. I like it.
Mm-hmm. He stole your panties, girl. Like, he stole your bike.
You wore them that day, Katrina.
Yeah, I wear them when I travel. Those were probably from, like, the first day.
The best part was when he came up to me. I'm in the kitchen, like, doing dishes or whatever, and he comes up to me, and he, like, slyly sits next to me, and he slowly pulls them out of his pocket, like, just enough so I can see what they are. And he's like, I found these in my pocket, and I don't know who the hell they are. Like, it was amazing. Like, he was so like, oh, my God.
I love BC. That's hilarious.
Poor Brian.
At least they weren't like Bridget Jones' giant granny panties and he wasn't traumatized.
Okay, that would have kind of been amazing, too.
That would have been awesome.
Absolutely. But you know what? It's 10 o'clock here, 7 o'clock there. So it's time for, like, Ask Mama, but all of a sudden it sounds like we lost Miss Ashley.
No, I'm not sure. I was just confirming with Mama that Mama was ready. Mama's ready to go. Everybody introducing Ask Mama, right? I was just in the chat room making sure she was ready to roll. And she actually has something to tell you, Jeffrey. Hey, Mama.
Yes, mija. Hey, Jeffrey.
How are you?
I'm all for it. How much I got to have to buy those apartment complexes?
Wait, what?
And let me tell you something. You better know how to work a drill, paint, screwdrivers. You got to have all the equipment to take care of these apartments. Because if we have
that's what I have a husband for.
Huh?
That's what I have a husband for. He's going to do the drilling and the painting, and I'm going to do the office work.
Oh, okay. Well, then we got it going on then. We ain't got no problem.
It's a team effort.
You just found your partner.
I'm an investor.
That would be amazing. That would be funny.
She's down to invest. So, Mama, tonight we have Katrina Johnson on with us as well. You met Katrina a long time ago when she was when you first came on the show. Katrina was with us. So it's me, Katrina, Jeffrey, and Mr. James on the line with you tonight. So I wanted to make sure you knew Katrina was here too. And Katrina has a question for you, Mom.
Okay. Bring it on, Katrina. And you better keep your panties on, girlie. You better keep them panties on.
She doesn't wear panties. She doesn't wear them. That's why we're trying to talk her into selling them.
They're not panties. They're chonies.
Chonies. Oh, yeah. Keep your chonies on. Katrina, where are you?
I was talking.
Can you hear me? What happened?
No, you were muted. Something happened.
Oh,
hey, Katrina.
Okay. Hey, Mama, my question is, my business partners are trying to sell my panties, and I don't like it. What do I do?
Well, you know what, girl? You could make you some big money. Don't turn it down. Go for the highest bidder. And you got to wear this stuff. They only get 10% of them panties. You get the rest.
Then should I wash them first or leave them authentic?
Yes, but don't call them panties. Call them chonies.
What do chonies? I call them?
Chonies. Chonies.
Got it.
Chonies. That's in Spanish for panties. Chonies.
Okay, so this is the question, Mom. You missed the major question. Should she keep them authentic or should she wash them?
No, keep them authentic. A little smell to them, it adds more value to it. That's awesome.
Wow, okay, good to know.
I just threw up.
It got your body odor, and that'll just even bring more cash. So you want to wash them. You got to have your body odor on them, them chonies. It's same for big
wow. Calling all creepers.
Calling all creepers. Katrina may be on the fence of selling these panties, chonies.
Chonies. Oh, hey, and look, if you call them chonies, everybody's going to want some chonies. Because they're going to say, what the hell is chonies? And then when they find out what is chonies, everybody, it's going to be, like, so fucking popular. I'm not lying.
Wow. I have not known.
I It's news to me. So, okay, Jamesy, I know you have some questions from Twitter and from Facebook for Ask Mama. You have a, we have a question for her?
We do. This one is from Tony Olabode on Twitter, and he asked, what do you do to get out of the friend zone with a crush?
If you get out of the friend, well, I mean, you know, with, like, y'all are intimate. I mean, you know what? It goes that way sometimes. You start out as friends, and then later it develops into something if that's what you wanted to do. But it's okay. I mean, you know, but you got to be friends first. That's even better because you're friends, and then you get to know each other, and then after that, you're together. That's even better.
Well, what's a good segue? How do they get from friends to getting together?
Well, now, if you don't know how to do that, you gotta know what to do next. That just comes natural.
My vote is sleep together. Home. That usually helps.
I think that's honest.
Yeah. And keep each other's corners. That'll make it even more better.
Mhm. Mhm. So, Jeffrey, what would you do to get out of the friend zone if you had to get out of the friend zone?
What would I do?
No, I said Jeffrey. I was asking Jeff.
Okay, Jeffrey. Okay. What would you do, Jeffrey?
To get out of the friend zones, well, I think diamonds help. Really expensive purses and shoes, a very high income helps. And, well, here's the thing. I feel like you have to date within your circle. If you're like, let's say you're a 4 and your friend is like an 8, it ain't going to happen. You just need to move home. And go find yourself
mm-hmm.
a 5,
you know,
because that's about the best you're going to do.
Jeffrey, this is what I always say. Check their portfolio. They got to have what you have. They got to want what you like, what you do, and then that way it's going to work. Because if you get somebody that don't want and don't have the portfolio that you have and don't bring it, why even get there? Why even go there? I've learned that.
Well, right, and if they, you know, and my guess is this person probably hasn't even said anything to the other person. And that's probably your first step, Home Slice, is telling them that you want a little more. Because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no and you stay friends? Okay, but at least you know.
No. Right. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Katrina? How would you get out of the friend zone if you had to get out of it? Or what advice do you give Tony to get out of the friend zone?
I would take off my chonies and stick them in that pot.
Wow.
If you don't understand the power of the chonies, you best believe I'll be using
And they have to be all natural sex, Tony.
Right,
wow.
Not fresh out the washing machine.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeffy,
wow.
Look, listen to this. One time,
yes.
Look,
mm-hmm.
This is, it happened not too long ago, but they told me, my friends were over there trying to get me to meet this man. And I said, and they were determined that I meet this man because he's got money, na, 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 na. And so I said, okay, I'll meet this guy. So we met and everything. And then when I saw him and I looked at him and I said, and you know what turned me off? Them dirty, ugly tennis shoes that he had on. He had a shirt from back in the 70s, like a sweatshirt on, and some pants that were like all faded out. I said, what in the hell? Why do they want me to meet this man? If he's got all this money, we need to go to some store and get you a whole new wardrobe before you can even, I mean, you know, he's out of my league. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the same chapter as you.
Huh?
Yeah, he needs to be correct.
He didn't come to us.
You know what? My girlfriend in Dallas, she always says that when she met her husband, she looked at his shoes, and he was wearing some alligators kind of shoes, and she said, this is the man I want to marry. Because she went by the shoes, and I listened to her. And I always look at the man's feet, their shoes, no matter what size they are. But they got some nice shoes. It's like a man that looks at the women's toes, and if they're not manicured, he turns them off, or they
mm-hmm.
think they're nasty. Well, same thing with a guy in his shoes. So remember that, guys.
Well, there you go, kids. Do you know what I took out of that? Size does not matter.
We could barely hear her. I don't know what she just said, Katrina, but it sounded great.
I said, what I got out of that was that size does not matter. I'm shocked.
I mean, she just said it doesn't matter what size.
I guess
you know,
so.
I'm
okay.
Okay. Well, Jamesy, give us another question from online. What else do we need to ask Mama?
Well, this question is from Facebook, and it's from Christina. I cannot pronounce your last name, but she's also known as Ashine Fan in the chat room. And her question is, what is your favorite kind of music?
My favorite kind of music? Oh, my God. I have so many, don't I, Ashine? I like mariachi, I like R&B, I like country, I like rock and roll, and we're talking old country rock and roll. I mean, talking Ozzy Osbourne, all that. That's the kind of rock and roll I like. And then I like R&B, the Aretha Franklin, what's his name?
Marvin Gaye.
All kinds of. But Marvin Gaye is my favorite, and the OJs, the Gladys Knight and the Pips, Aretha Franklin, and what's the other one, that other girl? The one that they tell me that I have hair like Chaka Khan. I love that. And Isaac Hayes, all that kind of stuff.
So old school R&B, old school rock, country.
And country. I love country. I love country.
Mariachi. Okay. You know what it is with my mom?
That's my favorite.
She would be someone after your heart, Jeffrey, because she likes music to dance to. Like, she's not trying to, like, sit there and fall in love. She wants to dance the night away.
I want to move. I want to shake it. And I can do it. I can dance any kind of music. Any
there
kind.
You
of
body, love
yeah.
me better.
Yes.
I have a funny story. My mom, one day, me and my nephew were like, and this just shows how she's an entrepreneur of mine, because I told her, I said, hey, Mom, what you going to do with all that junk inside that trunk? And she goes, I'm about to have a garage sale. We died laughing because we were singing the song, obviously Fergie's song. And then her favorite song, I will say, she didn't mention this one, but her favorite song was, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me. I told you.
That's my favorite.
So imagine riding down the street with your mom and she's bumping that.
Hey, Fergie, the one that she said, they say, you ain't got no money, keep your ass at home. Or what is it? If you got a broke ass, stay your ass at home. That's for sure. Because if you're somewhere to collect the money to buy some stuff and get out of here, it turns me off.
That was my theme song. If you ain't got no money, keep your broke ass home.
Oh, that's my song.
See, I know you won Katrina. Now you won her heart.
I'm telling you, that's my song right there. That's my song. And then another one where she says, don't you love me because I go to work out and I color my hair and all that. Well, we all do that. We're all women. I don't care, even guys, because I even colored guys' hair. If they want to color it, I don't care what it is, let's do it. Come on. Because if that's what's going to make you happy and get out there and think you're cute and cute and cute, well, let's do it. That's where I am. Put your best foot forward, like, I mean, that's the way I, and in my profession, I'm always trying to look cute because I got to sell beauty. If I go and put a bid on a building that I want to clean, I got to look right. And sex sells because I wear my little tight jeans today. I got a big old contract in Midland. And I didn't even think for Chevron. I didn't even think I could get it. But I had on my little rhinestone jeans on the butt and had my boots on, my cowboy boots, and had my hat on. And shoot, I had everything going on. I went up there and started talking to the guys, the ones that were running the show. And then they told me, one of them told me some of the bids. I said, well, I can beat that. Well, I got it. We're going to go down there and do some.
That's funny.
And I didn't even know what was going on.
You said sex sells?
It does. The way you dress, a woman, even a guy. When a guy walks out the door, if you smell good, I don't care if you got the most raggedy pants on and some As long as you're clean and you smell good, sheesh. And you go in there, they're not even going to look at what you got on because you're already talking noise when you walk in. You already got the job.
Uh-oh.
You got to be positive. And I'm a girl, and if I think if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Right.
And we were talking some high rollers today, big high rollers. And I beat them all. I want to get the job.
See? There you go.
That's true.
There you go. So what advice do you have for someone who maybe their confidence isn't so great and, you know, they're maybe looking for a job? Like, what do you think they need to focus on when they walk into that interview?
Well, for one thing, you got to do your homework. Before you walk in that interview, you've got to have your clothes laid out. Remember I said when I used to tell you when you used to travel, have everything laid out, and she did. Have all your jewelry, everything, everything. Because when you walk out that door, that's the first thing, your appearance. And then you all the way up there. I used to ask Ashley, are you sure you're going to pass that test? And she said, she would tell me, if I don't know it by now, I'm not going to know it. Because she was going to take a test. And I took her advice, and she was a really big girl. And that's what I think. You've got to be prepared, whether you go in a courtroom, whether you go put a bid on a job, whether you're going to get a job. Do you really want that job? If you really want that job, you're going to talk right. You're going to say your words right. You are going to and look at the person right in their eyes. Don't be scared, even if you're timid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in there with yourself, with your tail between your feet and between your butt, you ain't going to get nothing.
Right.
You know?
Okay. I get it.
I know that the look I had today for the job, okay, everybody was up there with suits and everything. Well, I ain't wearing no suits. I wore my jeans with my diamond stuff on my butt, a blue jean jacket, and I had my boots, and I had my cowboy hat on, and I had all my jewelry on, and I went in there. And let me tell you what, I got the job not just because I can do it, but because of my looks, the way I looked. I wasn't all stiff with all this. You know, expensive suits and all that. How are you gonna clean a building all dressed up like that? You got to look the part. You know? And I told him I had a crew of 8 people. I don't even got one right now, but I'll have them by the time I can start that job. You know what I mean? I'll have 8 people to do that job. I don't have them now, but I got me now, but I will get them.
I know that's right.
Because you know what? And I'm always telling my crew, when we work, I said, if y'all want to make money, we're going to make money. We're going to eat good. We're going to drink after the job is done. But we got to haul. We got to get in there and do it. And I don't want to be looking like y'all crazy. And
that's
they do
right.
It.
Hey, so
okay.
I think we have a caller. Hold on 1 second.
All right, come on.
Hi, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Rob. I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I just had a question I wanted to ask Mom. What is your favorite Mexican dish or a favorite, like, Mexican recipe you could give to the fans?
All right, Mom, it's that time. You got to give us the favorite dish of the week.
Okay, let me tell you what. Mexican food is not just about tacos, rice, and beans. Mexican food is whatever you got in the icebox. That's the way my grandmother taught me. If you got a little bit of ground meat or a little bit of steak, cut it up, throw it in there. Throw some potatoes, throw some hot peppers in there. Throw some anything else you have in there. Cook it up, and let me tell you what, anything between the tortilla is delicious. And you got to have beans on the side. I always say you got to have beans. Beans is the main thing, and plus your food. But that is what I do. I cook. But then I make some real good tacos, too. Chicken, beef,
mm-hmm.
pork chops. I mean, I do that. And then I do enchiladas from scratch. I make my tortillas. I make my own sauce. And then when I make my enchiladas, I put a piece of salad. Everybody tells me when I make my enchiladas, everybody says, you should open a restaurant. Because I put salad with avocado and all kinds of veggies in there.
Ooh.
And then red onions and all kinds of stuff. And then I make a rice that I die for. And then I make some refried beans. And then I make some enchiladas. And I make the enchiladas with they're like stacked like pancakes. They're made with tortillas. And you know, actually, I do that. And then I make them fresh and the chile. And then on top, you can put an egg on top. And they taste wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys, I got to go. I'm hungry. I'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, Katrina. Okay, Mom, so guess what? We do have a call. We have actually a question from our chat room. LaShawna Brooks, she's a very good friend of ours. She says that, I don't understand why this would be a problem. So, LaShawna, you really got to clarify for me. She says that she found out that there's a guy on the West Coast, and I'm assuming she lives on the East Coast. He has a huge crush on her. But the problem is, I think that he's older. He's an older man. He's 39 years old. How do you feel about younger girls dating older men?
Well, you know what? This is the way I look at it. Age is just a number. It's
mm-hmm.
just a number. If you're that young and this man, you've been talking to him and, you know, he's turned on with you and you're turned on with him, age shouldn't be no number. I mean, you know, it shouldn't. I don't think. I think she would. It would be good for her because maybe he's older. And she, how old is she?
How old are you, LaShawna? She's typing to me right now. I don't know. She'll type and let us know. But I'm assuming she's a little younger than him or maybe a lot younger than him. So she's just a little worried about, you know, possibly getting into a relationship with an older man that probably lives a little far away. So she says she's 32. She's 32 and he's 39. That's not that big a difference.
I don't think that's too old for her. That would probably be her
perfect.
Job. But to what I'm saying, you know what? If you're going to have a relationship, it ain't going to work from over there and over here. Well, somebody's going to have to move closer. But I think that would work because if he's 39 and she's 32, that'd be perfect. You know, you could balance it out. You could help him not feel so old and he could make you feel not so young. You know, it would work.
There you go. How do you feel about dating younger men?
Who, me?
Yeah, just how do you feel about older women dating younger men?
Well, you know, I've experienced it, and I'm not cutting it out. I just had some crazies. But, you know, I think that if a person is really, because just Sunday, I was cutting this man's hair, and then there was two other guys that were sitting there watching me do it. And this guy was 32, Ashley, and he was so mature for his age that I thought, you know what, but I'm not going to do that because my kids would have a fit if I had a 32-year-old boyfriend. But you know what, he was very mature. He has a home, he has a car, he works hard, he saves his money, and he's always doing stuff to his house. I like that in a guy. And even though he's just 32, but I wouldn't do that. But it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta be both of y'all same level.
Right. But
some guys are real young. I mean, they're real smart for being young. I've met a lot of them. I really have.
Right. Okay. So James, do we have another question from Twitter or from Facebook that we can ask Mama? We're almost to the end, Mama. So we only have a little bit more time, but we'll ask maybe another question or two.
Yes, and this question is actually from Rob Sizemore on Facebook, and he asked, did you always know that Karen was going to be a star?
Yes.
That's a good question.
Since the day they put, when I had my little girl and they put her on my, I had to go from Friday at 11 o'clock at night till Sunday at 4 o'clock. When that girl came out of me and they put her on my stomach and I was looking at her and she was just looking at me, I said, girl, I know you're going to be somebody special. I've always said that about her. I always knew she was going to be. I knew about my kids. The only one that I didn't know for sure is Gina because she changed her mind every day. Every day. Her deal was she didn't know what she wanted to be. This is what I would ask my kids all the time, didn't I, Ashley? What are you going to be when you grow up? And then Gina would say, well, I don't know. I said, well, tonight when we eat, you better know what you're going to do because tomorrow I'm going to ask you the same questions. And I'm going to ask you a question, you better have an answer. And she was everybody. But Debbie, the middle one, Debbie wanted to be a fireman. She wanted to be a doctor. She changed her mind all the time. But Ashley, since the day she started talking, she said, I want to be a dancer, a singer, and a movie star. And I have books. I have little papers where she wrote that. And since the day she was talking, she said the same thing. She never changed her mind.
Aww.
I'm not lying. I have books. I have books, papers. You know how in school they tell you, write a little a portfolio of whatever you want to be when you grow up, and every little page is the same thing. I want to be a singer, and I want to be a movie star. And every time people would come to the house, we'd have a talent show. Everybody had to perform. She put it together, too.
So she was a little performer as a kid?
She'd come out. We'd be out there in the living room. My friends would be there, and she'd say, look, I'm going to sing all this song, and she'd just get on with it. Or she'd dance.
What was the song she used to sing? Tell us.
She would always sing, Stacy Ladislaw was her favorite. Michael Jackson was her favorite. And Janet Jackson was her favorite. She always knew all them songs, Stacy Ladislaw especially. She loved that girl. We heard that album forever. And she was just look, she would get in her room. She would get in her room. And I'm not lying. This girl would practice all freaking day in that room. And it was teeny tiny. It looked like a closet. She would move everything out of the way, and she would be dancing and dancing. Come out of there, she'd be sweating up a storm. Come eat, and then go back in there. And I said, girl, ain't you tired of dancing? No, I got to get it right. Singing or dancing. And she did. I just knew she was going to be a star. We all did. Because she always said the same thing. Anytime when you asked me when she was little, she would tell you the same thing. I want to be a dancer, a singer, a movie star.
I'm happy to know she's a slave to herself as well.
You know what? I'm like this. When I was young, I wanted to be a car hop, and I wanted to be a car hop because I saw them car hops having all this money in their fingers. And I started combing hair when I was 12 years old for a dollar hairdo at the house. Sometimes my mom would come home and run my business away. And I was 12 years old, and I always knew I wanted to be a hairstylist. And now I'm one hell of a hairstylist. I can make anybody look good. Anybody. I don't care what it is. I can make it happen. Anything. And even painting or knocking down walls. I've gotten jobs that I didn't even know how to do it. And I said I could do it. And I did it. You got to just have to. You just got to believe in yourself.
You
have
that's
all
cojones,
it takes.
Right?
Yes. You got to be a chingona. And you can't let up or a chingon. Either way.
You know what a chingona is, guys? Or a chingon? Y'all know what that is?
Doesn't that mean, you're the shiznit?
It's like you got to be a badass.
Badass. And whatever you do, you got to be a badass.
Katrina's a chingona, and Jeffrey's definitely a chingon. But he's kind of like a chingona, too.
What?
You're a chingona. You're not a chingon. You're more like a chingona. Like, you're a badass girl.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Because you're a badass.
You're okay.
I just need you.
I just need you
the female version.
As long as you put your best foot forward outside of the door when you walk out. You know what I say all the time?
What?
When I open the door, this is what I say. Even if I say it loud, I say it to myself. I said, all right, people, are y'all ready? Because I'm fixing to come out. And that it says all the time. I've always said that. Are you people ready? Because I'm fixing to come out. And I come out that door and shoosh, get in that black car and I'm on it. Or in that white truck. I tell you.
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. So for those of you, the moral of the story is basically you got to do it. You got to have the confidence. You got to be prepared and you got to sell your tonic.
Look, I've had things that happen on a job site or I pick up the wrong scissors and I kind of mess up something or something and I figure it out. I make it look good. I show the whole design all over again. There's never been anything that I cannot accomplish as far as making money. Whatever I dream of, I can make money at it because I'm that determined. Okay, the only thing that I kind of mess up is with men. It's like, I guess I want to fix them or I want to, and you can't fix somebody. They got to want to get fixed. But, that's
right. The
way I've always done it. But anything else, I always said that if I ever had, because they say, for every good man, there's a good woman behind him. Well, hell, the same thing with a woman. If you had a good man behind you, shoot, I'd be a billionaire right now. I would. But I've always had to deal and settle with little bit, and I got to create a lot with it. But if I had to, if I had a real good partner, oh, my God, the world would, I mean, it would be on.
It'd be on and
everybody has to have a partner, especially, I don't care if you're gay, you got a man, or if you're a lesbian, you got a woman. You got to have a partner, or you're just a girl and a guy. You got to be partners. You got to be together, or it's not gonna. Why even bother to be together? You know, it's got to come out. Whatever your dream is, whatever you want, especially if you have a partner, man, it's even better. It's easier when you have a partner. When you're just by yourself, like me, I've always done it by myself. It's not hard, but I got to hold on to my capital. I have to hold on to it. Hold on. I can't really just get out there and put it out. That's my deal. Everything I want to do, like today when I went to the Chevron, there were so many people there that are so much educated. They have all these crews and they got all these trucks. I only got one white pickup. And I pick up my crew in that white pickup. We put everything in the back and we go and do it, the job. We ain't got no trailers. Mm-hmm. We ain't got nothing. But if I need trailers, I'll go rent them. If I need equipment, I'll go rent it. I'll make it happen.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know what, Mom?
And I'm
fine. You are your mother's daughter.
I know, right?
That's why
more you know,
the way
she
is, because I was...
The more you tell her, I get it from, right? Well, you know what, Mama? We're at the end of the show. We're at the end of the show. I wish we weren't, because you are sure kicking knowledge right now. But you all know she'll be back next Thursday. You can ask her your questions. So all week, be sure to tweet us. Be sure to let us know. And Katrina, Jeffrey, thanks for sticking around for Ask Mama. You guys are
great
questions.
Guys. I love talking to you all. It was fun.
I know. Thanks, Mom. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. We'll be back.
Hey, and don't
Good
forget,
night.
I walked out the door. Don't forget to say, are y'all ready for me? Because I'm fixing to come out.
Are you ready for me?
We're ready.